Take your Bibles out once again, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to begin looking at, that's not the right PowerPoint. Go to the next slide. There we go. That's it. Thank you. We're going to, if you recall last week, I started a message about leadership being tender and tough. I got through the tender part, but didn't get to the tough part. And instead of trying to figure all that out for this week, I decided just to go ahead and move into the sermon that I had planned for this week. And next week, I'll catch up on the tough part that goes with the tender part. How's that sound? Okay. All right. So for today, though, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 20, preaching, persecution, and pleasure. The main lesson we're carrying with us is this: an authentic church has a preacher who God speaks through as he preaches the word of God. There once was a pastor who had a five-year-old daughter. The little girl noticed that every time her dad stood in the pulpit to preach, he would bow his head for just a moment before he began to preach. The little girl noticed that he did this every Sunday. So one day after the service, his little girl went to her dad and asked him, "Dad, why do you bow your head right before you preach your sermon?" "Well, honey, I'm asking the Lord to help me preach a good sermon." To which his little girl looked at her father and asked, "Then how come he doesn't answer your prayer?" Some folks will tell their pastor, "That was a good sermon, Pastor." Others will tell him, "It's not such a good one. You've had a better one than that." And the question is, what makes a good sermon to some and not a good sermon to others? What makes a good sermon is different to different people. But here's what matters most about the sermon: that the congregation be pleased with the message, or that the Lord would be pleased with the message. And here's what we learn about an authentic church from God's Word when it comes to preaching. Preaching takes place, it should take place, every Sunday in an authentic church. The church cannot do without preaching. And you say, "Well, Pastor, you're one to talk about this." Well, it's what the text is saying, okay? And a church cannot do without preaching. When the authoritative proclamation of God's word is preached by a God-called, God-sent minister, God's people hear God speaking through him. And when that takes place, whether we like it or not, that, my friends, is good preaching. Amen? And amen. Well, look with me at verse 13. That's where we're going to stay this morning, looking at verse 13 as we study preaching, persecution, and pleasure. So point number one is this: preaching God's word must take place in an authentic church. Verse 13 says this: "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God." Now, you got to remember, they didn't have the New Testament. Paul didn't get up and say, "Brothers and sisters, take your Bibles out and turn to 1 Thessalonians." They didn't have that Bible. Probably they didn't have the Old Testament scriptures either, because it was in Hebrew and probably they couldn't read it. So that's an important distinction that needs to be understood as we learn about preaching the Word of God. So Paul goes on to write, "You accepted it not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers." Once again, this is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you that we now, the church, for over 2,000 years, has had your word canonized, that when I get up to preach, I can say, open your Bibles. But Lord, even if we didn't have it, as they did not have it there at the Thessalonica church, when God called men are sent and they preach, they are preaching the very words of you. And so, Father, today help us to realize the significance of the preached word. Help us to gain biblical knowledge and biblical wisdom when it comes to the preaching of your word and why we do this every Sunday and Wednesdays when we meet together. And Lord, it is that we hear you speak, that we hear a word from you that we can live by and we can proclaim it, that others would come to know the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a saving way. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Paul begins this section of his letter to the Thessalonian church with a term of gratitude. Did you notice that? First part of verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this. You know, it's wonderful when gratitude can be the constant course of the day for a local body of believers. It's wonderful to have that kind of experience because, you know, there are people that don't have an experience in church sometimes that they can give a word of gratitude about. But I think if they just stuck around long enough, they could. Amen? Amen. Paul had already, if you recall, expressed his gratitude to God for this church family in Thessalonica. He did it at the beginning of his epistle, 1 Thessalonians 1:2. He says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers." So his gratitude continues to brim over for their strong and resilient faith in God. For he loves these people tenderly, like a mother loves her nursing child. He's like a father to them. And so Timothy, what happens here with this letter is that Paul visited Thessalonica with Timothy and Silas. He moves on with his co-laborers, and then he sends Timothy back to check on the church of Thessalonica to see how the family is doing after Paul and the co-laborers had left them. Now, Timothy reported back to Paul and had brought good news of their blossoming, growing faith and their affection for Paul as he has the affection for them. Now, how do we know that, Pastor? Well, if you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, you see the report. "For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith." So for preachers, for missionaries alike, to hear good news about how the Lord has used them for a godly work amongst God's people, it brings them joy. It brings them gratitude. And it is an opportunity for a heart of thankfulness. And so Paul begins, "And we also thank God constantly for this." Heart of gratitude. Now, what does the word "this" refer to? Look with me at the remainder of verse 13 for the answer. "That when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers. So he's given thanks, has gratitude to God for this. So Paul is not only thankful for their continued faithfulness to God, that Timothy has brought this wonderful report back to him, but he is thankful to God for what took place when he was there preaching the Word of God with his fellow co-laborers. And so verse 13 has been called by some theologians a verse that explains the theology of preaching. The theology of preaching. And here are a few things from verse 13 that teach us about a biblical theology of preaching. And this is very important. First, we see that a preacher preaches the Word of God so it is heard. You say, why don't we have a play every third Sunday, Pastor? Why don't we do something like that every third Sunday? Why don't we let you have a break a couple Sundays a month from preaching behind the pulpit and just entertain? You let us be entertained by some Christian comedian or something. Well, you know those things are foreign to the biblical text. They didn't have plays. They didn't have Christian comedians. They didn't think about Christian entertainment. The course of the day for church planting and for churches was to hear the Word of God preached. And that's how the church began. So verse 13 says that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us. So these Christians heard the Word of God coming out of Paul and his co-laborer's mouth. That's how they heard it. Paul was nothing more, nothing less than God's mouthpiece. His message wasn't his message, but God's very word. Do you hear this? The very word that he preached when he got up to preach was as if God was speaking through him, his word. It's not as if that was what was taking place. One theologian says, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, Paul's message was God's message. You know, the church cannot do without a man of God preaching the Word of God. You're not a church. You're just not. Churches need to hear the Word of God preached on a regular basis. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Wednesday after Sunday, year after year after year. And that is because the preaching of the Word of God is for the people to hear the Word of God, to hear the Word that God speak, and that is the high point of worship. Now, you know I love to sing, don't you? You know I love to sing in the choir. You know, we've got a wonderful choir, and we have a wonderful time as a choir. I love singing the hymns with you guys on Sundays and on Wednesdays. But if that is all we did, we wouldn't be a church. We just wouldn't be. Singing is good. It has its place in worship. But it is to prepare the heart for the worship of the through the preaching of the Word. That's what it's there for. Like drama. Drama's okay once in a while. But drama must never take the place of the preaching of God's Word. Nothing should. No form of technology can replace the preaching of God's Word. The church of Thessalonica was planted firmly on the preaching of God's Word. That was the only means of starting and growing that church. It was the preaching of God's Word. And the Bible says, the Word of God, which you heard from us. And that verse literally reads, a word heard from us out from God. So these men spoke the words. They were the messenger of the word. But those words came out from God. They came out from God. And that's what we all need to hear week in and week out. Why? Because there is something supernatural that takes place when God's people hear God's word preached. Now we look at the supernatural of preaching next. Point number B is this: a preacher preaches the word of God and it is accepted as the word of God. Look at verse 13 again. And we also thank God constantly for this. Notice that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. A preacher preaches the word of God, and it is accepted as the word of God. That's what the Thessalonians did. They accepted it as the word of God. Now, I want you to notice two things here in verse 13. When they heard the word of God preached, they heard it preached, okay? First, they received it as the word of God, and secondly, they accepted it as the word of God. So first, this word received, translated from the Greek, it refers to an objective reception of the gospel. In other words, they thought about it. They used their minds. They didn't come in and check out and get sleepy and think about what they're going to do for lunch what they're going to do for the week. They didn't check their minds out. We worship in spirit and in truth. It takes heart and head to worship the Lord. And so they received means they had this objective thinking about what was being said. They used their minds. They were engaged with their minds. Secondly, notice they accepted it. The Greek word translated accepted, now that indicates an inward welcome of the gospel. In other words, it went from brain to heart. Brain to heart. There was a transference of what they heard, the word of God, from the mind to the heart. In other words, they heard with their ears and they heard with their heart the very word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, the only way you can hear with your heart the very word of God is as a result of being born again of the Holy Spirit. Until that happens, it's just this objective truth, not saving truth, but objective truth that you consider and you think about. But until the Holy Spirit works on your heart to give you a new heart, then the word is only skin deep, and that's it. And so all of this is taking place by a movement of the Holy Spirit. And so they believed in Jesus as their Savior and followed Him as their Lord because they received the Word and they accepted the Word of God. Now, I want you to come with me just for a moment to consider a few things as we mull over these words, received and accepted, as we apply them to our own spiritual lives. Now, I believe there are folks on the church roll that have received the Word of God without accepting the Word of God. They hear it intellectually. They think about it objectively. But there is no transference, supernatural transference, of that Word from the head to the heart. It's just merely mind deep. So when the Holy Spirit brings new life, though, it infects the entire person, both mind and heart, so that the mind will hear the word preached, believe it is the word of God in the heart, and receive the gospel as a life-changing, life-saving message. Now, it's a wonderful thing how the supernatural Holy Spirit works in a believer's life to bring them to the point of hearing, accepting, and receiving the preached word of God. But I want to tell you that just receiving the word of God is not enough. It's like the first three soils. It's like the demons of the epistle of James, where the demons believe that there is a God and they shudder. but they're not saved. And I think that is a problem within each and every church, that we hear the Word of God, we receive it in our minds, but there is no supernatural work of the Holy Spirit as a part of that. And so Paul preached the Word of God in three things. These believers heard it, they received it, and they accepted it. The spoken, preached Word proclaimed, and this is how they accepted it. Not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God. And church family, that is a supernatural movement of the Holy Spirit in order for that to happen. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, and following, Paul writes, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." And that's the changing effect of the Holy Spirit within the heart of a person. Is, you know, you can hear me preach all day long. You can hear a preacher preach the Word of God all day long. But until you understand it as the Word of God, you just accept it as man's word, and it has no effect whatsoever, spiritually speaking. So just as the Galatians heard the Word of God preached, the Thessalonian church heard the Word of God preached, which tells us that the gospel that they preached is the very Word of God. And when it's preached, we don't hear man's word, but we hear God's all-powerful Word. And when we combine God's preached Word with the work of the Holy Spirit, supernatural things take place like they can't take place in other venues. So Dr. Hughes writes this, "When the Word of God is preached properly, rightly divided, it is as if that preaching is God's Word. God is speaking through the preaching." We're going to have to stop, church. It's already 12 o'clock. Well, I didn't hear anybody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Next week, though, we're going to come back and we're going to look at God speaks through preachers as they preach His Word. And that last point we're going to see is that God speaks through preachers speaking His Word to produce spiritual works. That's what we're going to do next week. So let me remind you, an authentic church has a preacher who God speaks through as he preaches the Word of God. Now, I found this story. It's titled, "The Perfect Pastor." Now, if y'all didn't know what the perfect pastor was, you will after I read this story to you. So listen up. This was as a result of a computerized survey that indicated what makes the perfect pastor. The perfect pastor condemns sin, but never upsets anyone. He works from 8 a.m. to midnight and is also the janitor. He makes $50 a week, wears good clothes, buys good books, drives a good car, and gives roughly $50 a week in the offering. He is 28 years old and has been preaching for 30 years. He has a burning desire to work with teenagers and spends all of his time with senior citizens. The perfect pastor smiles all of the time with a straight face, because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. He makes 15 calls daily on church families, shut-ins, and the hospitalized. He spends all of his time door knocking and is always in his office when needed. Now, this is why I'm sharing this story with you. This survey found that for most church-going folks, the perfect pastor preaches exactly 15 minutes. And that's all. the perfect pastor. Now I'm going to bust your bubble. You all know there is no such thing as a perfect pastor. And he doesn't have to be a perfect pastor in order to preach the word of God. The perfect pastor, I think, at least in part, understands that he is nothing more and nothing less than God's mouthpiece and God's messenger to God's people to speak God's word week in and week out. And if you can find a pastor like that, I think you're getting very close to having at least the most perfect pastor you can find this side of heaven. Church family, what we do here on Sunday morning, I dare say, is probably one of the most important things we do in all of our week. And what we need is a word from God. And to the best of my ability, each Sunday, each Wednesday, I will deliver to you the Word of God. And hopefully you can hear Him speak through me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of setting aside to come to worship you. Lord, it goes so fast. We're here such a short period of time. So help us to do the best with our time and to make the most of it. That you are glorified, that you are honored, and Lord, that your people are edified through the teaching and the preaching of your word. That the songs we sing would bring you joy and pleasure and move us closer to heaven and closer to you. May the tithes that we give and the offerings that we give go to your work. And Lord, help us to proclaim the gospel to those you put in our pathway this week, that they too can hear your word proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen.